Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers. Each week, you'll hear how they navigate these fulfilling and challenging roles, how they make art and mother their children. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and now podcast host. I hope these interviews inspire and encourage you on your own journey as an artist and mother. Thanks for listening.
Maybe that's what happened when I had kids. Maybe that's what changed for me. I guess when you do something that is so life-altering and massively scary, it changes you, and then you can do anything, basically.
I'm so pleased to welcome artist Judith Farr to the Artist Mothers podcast today. Judy is originally from London, but currently lives in Spain. Her work is highly exploratory, colorful, and abstract. The pieces waver between painting and sculpture, referencing childhood memories, and more currently, they are informed by her life as a mother of two young children. She has shown her work in many group exhibitions across the United States and Europe. I am so pleased to welcome you to the podcast today, Judy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So to begin, could you kind of give us a brief rundown of your art career so far? Where did you get started, and maybe just share some high points along your journey?
Okay. I feel like I've always been an artist since I was a child, and I did my degree in art for the community in a college in London. But I don't feel like my career really started until after I had my first child, so when I was 30. And I started off by contacting an artist from the States, somebody who I really admired. And I'm going to say her name.
Yeah, please do.
She's called Aubrey Leventhal.
Okay.
And you should definitely look her up. She's just a really amazing painter. And she just was really kind. And we exchanged some emails. And then she suggested getting onto Facebook. And so I hadn't really been connecting to artists on Facebook until that moment. And then that was where my career as an artist really began, because I made connections on that. And that's how I got invited to participate in a lot of the exhibitions I've done. So my first one was in New Jersey in Proto Gallery, which is in Hoboken. And I've had a few exhibitions with them, and I had my work in their stall at the Armory Fair in New York as well. That was some years later. And what else have I done? I did a crowdfunding to do up my studio. I feel like that was a big deal for me, because it was a lot of work. And what else have
and
I done?
You have an MFA, correct?
Yeah. So I started that when I was pregnant with my second child.
Wow.
That wasn't the plan, actually, but just worked out that way.
I actually did my MFA I had a child while I was in my MFA program as well.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you just get stuff done, don't you?
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of going off on a tangent right now, but I feel like a lot of that, this first period of my art career, so the last 7 years, has really been all about motherhood, because I've been a mother while I was doing it. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think it's something you can really get away from.
Yeah, so it sounds like in a way you're really, when you launched your career or your, trajectory as an artist, that line kind of is running parallel with when you became a mother.
Absolutely. I think I have kind of a messy mind. Mm-hmm. I have lots of ideas and loads of inspiration, and but also at the same time, I sort of start and stop things a lot. So I have a lot of energy to start projects and not very much energy to continue them. Mm-hmm. And so with my art, during my 20s, I was just trying loads of stuff, really. And I wasn't convinced by anything. And I guess abstraction is something that I've always been interested in. Attracted to, mm-hmm. really, is what I mean to say. And, but I was just really intimidated by it. I just thought it was kind of, you know, impossible to do, mm. in a way. And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, who's my oldest, my parents-in-law asked me to do just a random abstract painting for their front room. And I was like, abstraction's really hard, you know? So I don't know, they just, you know, like they bought me a canvas and I was like, okay, I'll do the best I can. And I actually planned out my painting, which is really funny to me now because I never plan my work. Mm. But I did like loads of planned abstract paintings, which was quite funny. Mm-hmm. And then the end result was, it was more like I really enjoyed the process of doing it. I really enjoyed making that painting. And then I gave it to them and they were like, oh, thanks. And then,
like a good oh thanks, or like a oh.
I don't think they knew what to make of it, and then it just has like disappeared mysteriously.
It's in the back room.
It's somewhere, it's hidden somewhere strategically so that I can't find it again. But I didn't say anything about it. I wasn't like, so where's my painting? I was just like, okay, fair enough.
But you know, they, in a way, they believed in you.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? They didn't actually like my work, but yeah, they did.
But at least they, you know, they presented you with the opportunity, maybe before you were ready for it, but at least it kind of got you, you know, it gave you some forward motion and some traction.
Absolutely. I mean, I just think I need, I kind of need other people to give me permission to do things, which I think is a lot of women mm-hmm. probably feel that way. The way that we're raised, we feel like we can't do things until somebody else has told us that we're allowed to do them. Yeah. So it might be an element of that.
Yes. I would love for you to describe your work for someone who has not yet seen it. You know, I'm a huge fan, and I love, you know, just the way that your work is not, it's not easily categorized. Like, it doesn't just fit, you know, this perfect box. It feels very exploratory and fun. So if you could, you know, just do us the pleasure of, you know, describing your work and your pieces for someone who may have not seen them, that would be wonderful.
Well, first of all, thanks very much. I'm also a big fan of your work too.
Thank you.
And it is really hard to describe my work. exploratory is definitely a good word. Color is really important. Drawing and mark making. I think one of my key words is probably contrast. Mm. So I'm always trying to find contrast between colors and textures. And I suppose it's very gestural. What else can I say? Yeah, I suppose I'm hitting a blank here.
Tell me how you decide. I mean, I know you have a lot of works on paper that are more traditional in a way, you know, drawing, and looks like you use a lot of markers and paint on paper. But talk to me about the pieces that are more sculptural.
Well, what happened was I have this, I guess it's sort of my sense that I follow through my practice. So I have like a sense for colour. So you can see that, and a sense for drawing, which is in my like 2D work. But I have this strong attraction to objects, I suppose. And even in my recent work on paper, I'm actually drawing objects. And so I guess like the sculptural work was sort of appealing to that side. And also I have this thing about sort of three-dimensional colour. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how to express that. And I started out just using plasticine and Play-Doh and basically like children's art supplies. Mm-hmm. And so I started off by doing that, and I felt like this is answering this problem for me, but it's too small. And then I saw some other artists using like it's like wall insulation, and it's kind of like polystyrene type stuff. And I thought, I was sort of originally attracted to the wooden sculptures of Elizabeth Murray. Mm-hmm. And like Frank Stella type stuff. But I'm not like good with wood, and I just thought I can't, you know, set up a wood shop right now to sort of deal with this problem. Okay. So using the foam was like my way of being able to create sculptures that I could paint on. And then I stuck them together using this foam. So it's like insulation foam. So basically went to sort of a builder's merchants and got my supplies from there. And it was just accessible, really. I suppose a lot of my work is to do with the limitations of motherhood. So limitations on time and money. And that was a way that I could get the ideas out of my head, really. But yeah, they're very colourful and exploring like pattern and colour and texture.
And I see even like popsicle sticks, it looks like, pipe cleaners, glitter. I mean, they're just so fun and playful.
There's definitely a kitsch element to my work.
Yeah, they're just, I want to touch them and hold them and name them, and they're like little creatures almost.
Yeah, I identify with that idea. I was actually very inspired by tribal works of art, and I, in my own way, sort of responded to the idea of making decorative artwork from found materials, I suppose. So that's really where that came from.
And you are literally finding these materials in your home.
Well, it's not so much like that anymore because my children are older now, but when I was making that work, I had a baby in the house and a 3-year-old. So yeah. And I love kitsch. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes, I guess, kitsch feels a bit rebellious to me. And I mean, if you put it in the context of this sort of highbrow fine arts world, it felt like a bit cheeky to do that.
So Judy, could you tell us a little bit about who you are outside of your art career? Do you work another job? Do you, stay home? Are you a full-time artist? I know you have two kids, and a husband, and you live in Spain, but just give us a little more background into kind of your life outside of your art.
Okay. Well, I came to Spain about 16 years ago, because I was studying, I actually studied Spanish at university. As I did like a combined honours degree, so I did art and Spanish, And then I came out here, and I guess my main job is translating. So I've been freelance translator, and now I'm working in an agency. So I have very strong connections to language. Mm-hmm. And that is, I don't really know how it comes into my work, but I feel like it might start to come in somehow, because a lot of the things I'm translating right now, I'm very curious about them. I'm curious about the words and the, I guess, the content as well, as much as anything. So I'm a translator. And
is that like a 8 to 5, you know, Monday through Friday job, or is that part-time?
It's part-time. So I do 4 days a week from 9 till 2 o'clock. And so then the rest of the time, I'm basically looking after my kids.
Okay.
Or I have like Friday mornings off. So I have like, at the moment, my time for painting is Friday morning and hopefully Saturday morning if I'm able to get away.
Yeah. So you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
As many of us are. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about your physical studio space? Like, how has that changed over, you know, the course of your art journey? Did you start, you know, in a smaller space and now you're in a larger space? I know you mentioned crowdfunding, for a studio, but you know, I just think I love asking this question because I think as mothers, you know, the actual physical studio space is something that is always kind of, you know, something that we're working through, and it often changes as our careers change and as our children grow. So I just find that so interesting. So if you could share a little bit about that.
Well, it sort of seems like a holy grail, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's like this amazing studio space that maybe one day we'll have. I love my studio space. It's how long have I been there? About 6 or 7 years now. I did originally have a studio space in a sort of arts co-op. And strangely enough, I mean, it was a really nice big studio, but I was completely blocked when I had that space. So I don't necessarily think the space makes the work, mm-hmm. or it, I think it does definitely affect the work, but I was there and I had that space back then years ago, and I was just unable to do a thing really. But after I left there, I just had to sort of work in a spare bedroom, and yeah, it was hard. I mean, but I just feel like I'm rambling now.
No. To follow up, did you feel like you weren't able to make work in the space that was community because it was not an isolated space? Or like, what do you think the block there was?
Well, it's a little bit what I was saying before. In my 20s, I just felt like there were so many different things I could do. Mm. I couldn't choose one thing. And so I would start to do things and then give up and just couldn't, you know, find who I was through the work. Mm. And it's funny because now I look at that work and I think there's some really nice little things there, you know. So I think I was actually doing okay, but I didn't have enough confidence to just follow through. And maybe that's what happened when I had kids. Maybe that's what changed for me. Is I guess when you do something that is so life altering and massively scary, it changes you, and then you can do anything basically.
Yes, I love that. And then you mentioned what kind of studio do you work in now?
Okay, so basically it's an old chalet in the countryside.
Ooh.
That we rented about 7 years ago to set up a business to create sort of allotments for the local town where we live. And part of the house is office space, and I have just nabbed this little space on the first floor, and it was just, there was nothing there. I mean, it was just all exposed brick. And so I started off by getting a wall put in, and then I just painted the floor with like this, it's like a paint that they use for parking spaces. And then I painted the walls white. And then after, and then I had a wood stove. That was fun.
Yeah.
I had to try and light that damn thing every day. and then I did the crowdfunding, and I put in like drywall and insulation and double glazed windows and like a parquet flooring, and I had a sink, and it was just like amazing.
So is that, do you have to commute to that studio from your home?
It's about 10-minute walk.
Oh, nice.
So, and the walk is part of my practice, I think.
That's what I was going to say. That walk would be, you know, kind of where you're allowed to let go of one identity and enter another in a way, you know, the transition.
Exactly. And it's a really nice walk because it's by a river and then across some fields, and it's just a beautiful place. I mean, Spain is a beautiful place, so.
Are you enjoying the newly launched Artist Mother podcast? I hope you're loving it. And if you are, consider supporting our work by spreading the news and sharing this podcast with your friends and social media followers. Please check out our website, www.artistmotherpodcast.com, for more information. And while you're there, stop by our shop where we have brand new, comfy and cute Artist Mother t-shirts for sale. You can also find us on Instagram at Artist Mother Podcast. Okay, so how do you think your journey as a mother weaves its way into your art? I know we've already talked a little bit about the materiality, but is there, you know, anything more in terms of, you know, the content that you're exploring or, you know, anything that you'd like to share?
Well, I guess I would first like to say that the content of my work is sort of an ongoing mystery to me. So I mentioned about how I tried to plan a painting and that now I don't plan them. And so part of the process is not really knowing what I'm going to do at any given point, but just sort of showing up and seeing what happens. So I try to sort of fuel the fire by paying attention and following up on curiosity, but I don't really know, you know, the why of a lot of what I'm making. So it's, I guess I can't make a direct link between, I don't think it's a very clear cut link that I can make. Although I do think that, what happened to me when I became a mother was that I think I had to face a lot of trauma from my life, which we all have, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about any kind of terrible experiences, but just the trauma of our own existence in the world. And so I feel like a lot of the work I made, a lot of the abstract work was sort of working through, I guess, the pain or the, I don't know, maybe not, maybe pain isn't the right word, but.
Yeah, but the difficulties kind of rise to the surface in a way.
Yeah, like they call it the shadow, you know, of motherhood, or the dark side is that you are reliving through your experience or through like seeing your children grow up, you're remembering your childhood.
Yeah.
And it's it can be kind of hard to deal with. I mean, it's wonderful and it's beautiful sometimes because you see yourself in your own children, but then you also have to, you know, you maybe didn't have those, like, you're not remembering your childhood in the same way. You're remembering it as an adult. And that, it's like you're sort of, I don't know, it's weird. It's like you're, it's like a sort of end of a cycle, mm-hmm. you know, where you, as a child, you remembered, you had like your child memories from a child's perspective. And then as a mother, you suddenly see all those memories as a mother would see them. And you think, oh God, that wasn't okay. Or that was okay. Or that was great. Or, you know.
I think there's some, you know, there's just some tendency to feel, I don't know, almost a longing. Like, you know, women talk a lot about experience, well, and parents just in general talk a lot about experiencing childhood again when you become a parent. But in a way, you're still very disconnected from it. And that can be painful to realize, like, I don't feel that extreme joy and elation that a child does when they splash in a creek. Like, I'm worried about if they're going to slip on the rocks or if they're going to, you know, it, like, there's no the purity of it is gone. And I think that's sometimes sad to realize that.
I agree with you, but I don't, I guess I feel very in touch with my childhood. I think I'm quite a childish person. I mean, not, well, maybe in a negative way sometimes, but I'm quite childlike, and my mother is as well. So I don't think I do experience things exactly the way a child would at all, but I guess I feel less sad about it because I'm kind of still there. That's still, like, I feel like it's very close to me. And I think it's because my art is, it's like the child part of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm a mother, I'm like adult me. And when I'm painting, I'm like child me, you know.
I love that. No, I love that. And I think it's very inspiring to hear you, you know, just kind of dissect that and still be willing to say, like, no, I am holding on to, you know, aspects of childhood that, you know, feel like they still work for me. And that's, you know, I think we all could use more of that probably in our lives.
Maybe.
Okay, so I would love for you to talk to just a little bit, flipping that question around. Do you feel like being an artist influences the way that you mother your children at all?
Probably massively. I mean, I find that a difficult question. I worry so much about mothering, you know. It's hard to dissect that for me. Like, it's easier to dissect my work, I suppose, and being an artist, but I feel like motherhood is like a series of triggers, and you just have to sort, you don't know when you're going to be triggered. You just have to try and get to the other side and hope you haven't, you know, hurt anybody too much by getting upset about things. I think I do notice that my children know I'm an artist, and then they have said that they want to be artists as well. So I suppose I'm showing them what can be done, you know, that a person can be an artist. And it's an okay thing to be, even if, you know, you probably have to have a day job too. And I feel like there's a lot of art shaming that goes on at school and things like that. And I can support them when that happens because of my superior knowledge, obviously. And I'm really, I guess I just take so much pleasure in their work when they paint and draw. I just think they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And I say, I went to school to learn how to do this.
What are some things that you see other artists doing that you, you know, would, given the opportunity, would maybe advise them against?
I don't feel, I guess, confidently in a position to comment on that. I did have a conversation with a local artist recently, and I recognised something she was doing that I also do, which was sort of feeling very ashamed and apologetic about ourselves, which I do think a lot of artists do this, because I think that's just the kind of people we are, I suppose. You know, you feel a lot of doubt really about what you're doing, because it's like scary as hell, you know. I mean, I think we're like the explorers out in, you know, the nether regions or whatever. I don't know, what am I saying? We're on like the borders of society, trying out new stuff. And it's very scary, and it sort of makes us wonder every single day if what we're doing is really valid. So I guess trying to cut myself short, I think we should try to make an effort to be more supportive and positive about ourselves and our work, even if it's hard to do.
That's a valuable thing to say. Okay, Judy, what are you looking forward to in 2019? Do you have any big goals? What are you? Are you kind of just riding the wave? What do you have ahead on your horizon?
Well, I would tend to tell myself that I am just riding the wave because it's less scary than having goals. But I'm currently working with a gallery, and my goal is for them to actually sell some of my work. And because I think that would, it's not that I need the money, you know, I just need a bit of encouragement, you know. And
is this a gallery in your hometown, or?
It's in Texas.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say who they are.
You don't have to say who, but actually I would love for you to talk just a little bit about how your career has, you know, really spanned several countries. I mean, I'm sure part of that is just because you're from London, but then now you live in Spain. But it does seem like you have some great connections in the U.S. And if you could just talk a little bit about how you've made those connections. I'm assuming, you know, they didn't just land at your feet. You did the legwork in making them.
I'm sorry, I didn't do any legwork.
What? They landed at your feet? They came knocking down on your door in your chalet in Spain?
A bit.
What? Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of... I mean, I guess it's all good. I mean, I don't know. I just make the work and put it out there. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I did what was actually good, which is advice I can give to people, is I did have a few shows in my local town. And the last show I did was actually in a gallery space that was in a basement, so there was no natural light. It was not a good place, but it was a kind of an indie place, so I didn't feel intimidated to go and ask them if I could do a show there. And it wasn't like a great place or anything, but I managed to set up my show the way I wanted it, more or less.
This was a solo show?
Yeah, it was a solo show. So it was like the year after I finished my master's degree.
Okay.
And I was like raring to go.
Yes.
And so I did loads of work. And that was when I did all of my more sculptural work. And so putting pictures of a show, even if it's not like a fancy schmancy show, is really attractive for other people, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you can sort of fool people on social media into thinking that you're a high flyer.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit. I don't know.
So you're saying you had the solo show, well, first of all, I want to say, like, you, if you can get a solo show, like you're saying, no matter where it is, if it's somebody's basement, just the experience of making work for a show, no matter where it is such, you know, it is in its own right, a challenge and a work of art, just, you know, making the work for the show. It feels, you know, it feels like a very monumental thing. So I would just echo that no matter if it's a friend's basement, you know, and you put together your own solo show, I just think that's, you know, something I would like to see more artists doing, you know, just because, like you're saying, you can then take pictures and you can practice the art of installation and curating your work in a way, like setting it up and seeing how your work talks to each other across a room. And then you have photos to share, and it feels really great.
Well, exactly. I mean, it is a monumental thing, as you say. It is massive belief in your own work and in your own self. It's a great experience. It's an important experience, a learning experience for every artist. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I don't want it to be too mothery, but it is kind of like a birth. It is.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that, and then I was like, oh, it's too cliche to say that. But
yeah, I'm sorry. I have to be honest. It is, because I do think of it in those terms. Like, I mean, you know, you go through all of the preparation and the planning, and then there's like the big day, and, you know, and then you do get to enjoy the results of it. And that's where I got my current gallery connection. I think it came out of that. Although, no, I think what happened was she contacted me and wanted to come around to the studio. And I was like, might be a bit out of your way, you know. She didn't realize I wasn't, you know, in the States. And I was like, no, I'm in Spain. And then she said, oh, well, I can't work with you then, because, you know, I only work with sort of people in the same country as me. And then she contacted me again after she saw the pictures of the show.
Huh.
And she said that she would make allowances. So
you never know. Share your work and what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think we kind of have to let go of the goal can't be, I guess, anything other than the work, really.
Right.
You know, I haven't done a lot of legwork because it's terrifying. And it seems like every time I do try to instigate things like that in my career, it doesn't work. And I just feel kind of massively rejected. Although I'm not saying that's what, you know, that everybody else should be as sort of cowardly as I am. I'm just saying that's been my personal experience. So I had to sort of just be okay with just making the work and being able to share it. And I mean, I don't have like a massive following or anything. And I haven't really dedicated myself to the whole like social media game or anything like that. I just, I think I'm just doing what I can, really, within my, I don't know, within my limitations as, you know, I mean, I don't know. I can't really talk about my limitations when I'm talking to you, Caitlin.
Well, I think what I'm hearing you say, and it is something that I would wholeheartedly agree with, is that you just have to make the work and the work should come first.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, I see what you do. I love following you on Instagram. You're like one of my favorite people to follow. I love everything that you've set up, like your whole lifestyle and your kind of ethos and everything. It's just fantastic. And so I think you're just a massively inspiring person.
Thank you.
And so
I might have to edit that out.
No. I just thank you so much for asking me to do this, because it's a huge ego boost for me for you to ask me.
Well, I, like I said, you know, we've sort of been Instagram quote unquote friends, you know, for a couple years now, and the feeling is mutual. I'll just say that. Okay, so let's wrap up. I'm going to close off this interview by presenting you with a final 5 questions that you are welcome to answer as briefly as you would like. I ask these for all of the artists that I interview, and it's just fun to kind of get a peek at some of the things that you're currently doing. So if you will answer, and then we will wrap up our interview and say goodbye. This has been so wonderful, Judy. I've loved every second of it. So, number one, what are you currently reading?
I am a translator, so my job is to read, and I have just been translating a guide for the plants and wildlife of this region of Catalonia, which is called, what are we going to call it? Lleida is the name of the whole region. And so I guess that's the thing I've been reading, and it has been very interesting for me to have to look up like a million different birds' names and plant names. And that has been sort of in my mind to come into my artwork somehow.
Okay. That is not at all what I thought that you would say, but extremely interesting. What a fun job. And I'm just jealous of your bilingual skills. So, okay, what about TV, movies? Are you currently watching anything? Are you a non, you know, movie watcher?
I'm not a non-movie watcher, but I have to say that I found the last couple of years of like media, I suppose, like everything that's been happening in the world, so triggering and exhausting that there is not very much on TV that I can watch right now without feeling quite upset by it. So I have been watching the Great British Design Challenge, which is just like people decorating houses. And that's where I am right now. That's what I can deal with.
I thought you were going to say the Great British Baking Show, which is one of my favorites. Love it.
I just got those two shows mixed up, actually.
Okay, Judy, what would you do if you had a whole weekend to yourself?
I would go for a long walk, because that always makes me feel better. I suffer from quite a lot of anxiety and insomnia, so walking is like my medicine. What else? I would probably eat quite a lot. I might go shopping, because I haven't been shopping for a long time. And then I would, so that might be just like one morning, and then the rest of the time I would be painting probably, and listening to music. And podcasts.
Yes, all the things.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your beverage of choice?
It depends on what situation we're in.
Okay, what is your beverage of choice for that weekend that you are enjoying alone?
Wow. Coffee in the studio and probably a beer in the afternoon.
Nice. Okay, and final question. In the spirit of community, because, you know, we can't do this alone, is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to or thank for supporting you in your art?
Okay, I'm going to shout out to one person who probably won't even listen to the podcast because he doesn't understand English, but he is my main best pal, and he's called Pere Rius. That's his name. Like, translated, it's Peter Rivers. He's Catalan. He's from Reus, which is, like, near the coast. And he came to an exhibition of mine in Lleida in 2014, and we've just been really close since then. And he's like, we meet up in Barcelona every few months and go to see shows. And so he's like my main art pal, like in real life.
Everybody needs an art pal.
Yeah, totally.
Well, thank you so much, Judy. This has been really wonderful, inspiring. I love hearing you talk about your practice and the way that you, you know, are just be and live and exist in the world. I would love to come visit sometime. I hope you invite me, please.
Yes, and totally invited.
And if you're ever in the States, you know, maybe we can hook up. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. I really appreciate it. And I know everyone's going to love to listen to what you have to say.
Thank you so much, Kaylin. Thank you for inviting me.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.